You've probably heard the expression, it's lonely at the top. And this is something that comes up so often in my work with entrepreneurs and leaders. It really is lonely at the top. It's lonely when it's very difficult to find peers. And I think another contributor to loneliness and the topic of our conversation today is that we as humans are pretty hard-coded to be tribal people, to be pack people. And we don't really like it when people don't fit with the pack. And so when people begin to create, when they expand, when they are successful, the pack often has a way of clawing them back in. So in this episode, I tell a story about being in handstand class and stopping in the middle and saying to someone, hey, your awesomeness is safe here. Like, it is okay for you to be really good at handstands in this handstand class. And it was a little bit of a radical statement because I realized how often we diminish our ability or play small to make other people feel comfortable and to try to avoid being ostracized from our community. So that is the topic of the conversation today, and I give you some strategies for finding places where your awesomeness can be safe. And it's a little playful, but I'm dead serious about the importance of true and deep accepting community for people who are entrepreneurs, who are successful, who are the people at the top. We are not meant to go it alone, but nor are we meant to hide and diminish the full capacity of who we are so that other people are comfortable. So that is the topic for today. Thank you so much for listening. Time to jump in. Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. This is a place where we have conversations about mental health and entrepreneurship. We have a pretty broad conceptualization of what mental health means. Sometimes depression, anxiety, sometimes relationships or physical health. The goal here is to bring some calm into the crazy roller coaster of ups and downs that is life for many entrepreneurs. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Sherry Walling. I'm a clinical psychologist and an entrepreneur, married to an entrepreneur, live in the world of entrepreneurs, and I'm so pleased that you have joined us for this conversation. Hello, my name is Dr. Sherry Walling. I run a little company called Zen Founder, where we provide all kinds of mental health and thriving resources to entrepreneurs and high performers. So today I want to talk about loneliness in entrepreneurs, but I want to talk about it in a little bit of a different way, because I think there's a lot of conversation about like how lonely it is in entrepreneurship. It's a very lonely job. It's a lonely world. It's lonely at the top. And I want to talk about a specific vulnerability for feelings of loneliness that I think doesn't quite get enough airtime. And that is the loneliness of awesomeness. I was in a handstand class a couple weeks ago, and we were warming up and doing our handstands and da-da-da-da-da. And a woman just did like a beautiful handstand. And I did a very mediocre handstand and fell over promptly, as I do in handstand class. And this woman kind of started apologizing about how great her handstand was. You know, she's sort of explaining and apologizing, really. And I kind of interrupted her and I just said, hey, your awesomeness is safe here. Like, this is a place, this is a circus studio, this is a place where you get to be amazing. Let your handstand shine. Like, you don't need to apologize or explain or talk about how you grew up as a gymnast. Like, you don't need to take care of my feelings about not being able to do a handstand. Like, you can do a handstand. Just do your awesome thing. Don't apologize about it. And the interaction just really got me thinking about how often that happens for entrepreneurs and other high performers where we're really good at something, or we've attained a level of success over the years of hard work and dedication and building our craft, or maybe we just got really lucky and made one super good decision and it yielded millions of dollars, whatever it is. But something has happened, or we have cultivated a set of skills that have made our life really awesome, or have made us really awesome at something. And that's a surprisingly lonely situation. We live in a world where it's unsafe to be outside of the pack, right? We don't want to be excluded from the community. We want to be accepted and part of the community. But when we do things or have a way of being in the world or have a set of experiences that place us outside of the community, either because of our financial means or our level of influence or power or our abilities, we experience a level of ostracization and loneliness that can be very deeply painful. And I think I will actually interject here. I don't often make generalizations about men and women, but I think this is a place that is important to note. I think it is especially unsafe for women to be in their awesome. There are a variety of historical reasons why women are very concerned about being perceived as threats to other women. And we often minimize our abilities so that other people don't perceive us as threatening and therefore, you know, kick us out of the club. We don't want to be the one who's not invited to book club because we're too smart or too pretty or too accomplished. We would rather diminish our full capacity than be alone. And so these are trade-offs that women have been making for a long time. To try to keep the peace and, frankly, probably evolutionarily compete for mates. And anyway, I won't go into like the deep dive of that. But let's just assume that this is actually happening. I think it can really inhibit us as entrepreneurs because the fear of our own awesomeness can become something that unconsciously or indirectly causes us to play small, to stay safe, to stay within the range of the people that we know and are already in touch with. And it can be very difficult for us to find places for our awesomeness to be safe, where we don't have to minimize or apologize or pretend we're not good at something. And it's incredibly important to our full thriving to do just that, to find places where we don't have to hold back the fullness of who we are and what we are able to do in this life, what we have accomplished and what we're capable of. And that often means working pretty hard to cultivate a community of peers, of people who are at our level in their level of ambition, determination, dedication, discipline, joy, playfulness, like whatever it is. But they are able to really match us so that we don't have to play small. It is kind of part of our hard coding as humans to understand ourselves in the rank in the pack, right? We're kind of assessing, where are we? Are we the leader? Are we the number two? Are we the number five? Are we in the middle? Are we a follower? Like, it's just sort of, again, old evolutionary coding that helps us to know our place. But when we are arbitrarily minimizing our place, we are not moving ourselves forward. We're not moving the species forward because we are not really honoring what we are able of contributing. So strategies to make sure that your awesomeness is safe and you are not playing small to eliminate the possibility of loneliness. Number one is find a community of your peers. I appreciate that that is easier said than done, but it is something that is important and it is also dynamic. So you might have people who are your peers financially. You might have people who are your peers in terms of your hobbies, in terms of your passion causes, the things that you're working on to make the world a better place. You might have peers in your life as a parent or couple friends who are your peers in your way of understanding and structuring your relationship. But it's important that you are in places where, at least in certain domains of your life, you don't need to hide. You can just be fully who you are, fully capable of what you are able to do. So that's one, is find your peers and then keep finding your peers and then, you know, find peers in this other part of your life. And it's, again, dynamic. The second strategy to help protect your awesomeness and avoid loneliness is to be okay with a bit of discomfort in other people. Sometimes you are going to be the leader in the awesomeness brigade, and part of your work is to not hide or diminish your light, but to shine as brightly and go as hard and be as strong and be as capable as you possibly can be in whatever room that you're in, but also be very mindful of creating space to bring other people along so that you are not in any way diminishing you're awesome, but you are also creating, you're leaving the door open for other people to shine right next to you. So it doesn't have to be a competitive process. It can be your willingness to let other people be a little bit uncomfortable right alongside your encouragement that they train harder, study a little more, double down, take a risk, like whatever it is that you think would lead them to the next level. So you become a little bit of an ambassador of awesome so that you can bring other people along with you and are a model of how to not shy away or be afraid of your own power and your own abilities. My third strategy for keeping your awesome safe is a little bit of an expansion of the second one. So the second strategy was about bringing other people along, not hiding your awesome, bringing them along, creating space for them to be awesome right alongside you. This third strategy is really about you getting comfortable with other people's discomfort. And this is a bit tricky, again, maybe especially for women, because we are socialized to be pretty empathetic and attuned to the feelings of others. But I've decided a long time ago that I am a safe place for all kinds of people and all kinds of things. But I'm not really a safe place for sloppiness or laziness, or folk who are in the room but aren't really paying attention. I don't wish to diminish myself in order to make people uncomfortable who are not really in the arena, who are not really in the game. And so that's my inner work, is to really kind of read other people's discomfort and maybe their judgment, and they're like, oh, I wish you would be quiet, sit down, stay small, not push, not speak. And I have to retune my empathy not to be deeply distraught by their displeasure, and let their displeasure be their displeasure and don't let it be about me. I think the only way to really do that well is to proactively offset the loneliness by making sure that you have a tribe alongside you if you're going to help your heart to be unattuned to people who don't like what you're doing. It's easier to dismiss the haters if you have a cheering squad. It's easier to say, I'm not going to pay attention to these people's judgments of me, if you have relationships with peers, with family, with friends, where you feel very secure. So I think one does have to happen before the other. And you don't want to completely tune out your empathy. You don't want to completely dismiss what your read is of how other people think and feel about you, but you just want to calibrate how much you let it in and let it affect you and listen to it. One of the reasons that entrepreneur organizations are so, I think, popular and powerful is because they do create, hopefully, rooms where it's safe to be awesome. They can be unhealthy in their own ways. They can be just like another level of competitive assessment. Who's what is bigger than who's what. But when they are healthy, and you can help make them healthy, they do become places of true celebration for drive, accomplishment, ambition, creativity, all of the things that make our lives really interesting as entrepreneurs and high performers, is that we are in the arena. We are out there trying. We are out there making. We are out there doing things. We are out there creating. And we don't want to be ostracized just because we are at the edge of the known world. We want a team. We want a posse. We want people that understand. And we want people that cheer us on and pick us up when things don't work. But it is not an acceptable trait, in my opinion, to have the community at the expense of the fullness of who we are. So if your awesomeness is not welcome, you are in the wrong room. And you have to do the work to find the right room for you. Don't let anyone diminish who you are, what you're capable of, what you've done, what you're doing, what your dreams are, what your accomplishments are. It's just not worth it. And generally, that kind of tribe, that kind of community is going to be more of a cage than a place of expansion and a place of growth. So it's not for you anyway. If you are interested in more tips and strategies for helping your awesome flourish and potentially even finding some communities where that awesomeness is safe, let me know. You can find me at zenfounder.com. I'm also on Instagram and LinkedIn and Facebook, and would love to be a source of connection for you, even across the distance and the virtual realm of community. But I am lucky to be connected to quite a few places, quite a few rooms where awesomeness is celebrated and safe, and be happy to pass those resources along to you if they're things that you're longing for. Go out there and be awesome. Thanks so much for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, feel free to check out zenfounder.com for lots of resources about the kinds of conversations that we have on the podcast. You can get information about working with me, about maybe joining a Zen tribe. It's sort of like a mental health boot camp for entrepreneurs. We also have lots of content on our blog, links to resources in our courses and books for sale. So check us out there, and we hope to provide anything and everything that you might need to make the entrepreneurial life a little bit easier.